need you to man up and take care of some stuff this week. Martha can take care of the office, but I need you on backup. And I need you to help out with Mom.
When are you leaving? Anthony asks, growing more serious. He's got some potential, at least.
In a few days, I say, not offering more.
Anthony shakes his head.
I can't. Dad wants me to check on a property for him down in Georgia. I'm flying out Tuesday.
Fuck him, I say, sharper than I intend.
And fuck his grooming.
Anthony recoils slightly and goes silent for a moment.
Are you going to tell me what happened between you two? It's been months now, and neither of you will say what went down.
I clench my teeth, looking out the window. I still get hot under the collar thinking about the disagreements we had. Another time. I make sure I say it with enough conviction so he won't press the issue.
Anthony's silent for a few moments before he replies, his voice quiet and intense.
You're an asshole, Oliver, and Dad's gonna be pissed when he can't count on me.
That's too bad. He doesn't need you. Mom does.
He wants me to take your place, you know, at the company, Anthony says.
Says he needs a right hand he can trust.
Anger surges through my chest. He gave me the same line of shit back when I was 21 and he was recruiting me. But Anthony doesn't understand.
That will be the biggest mistake you ever make.
Seems like you're the one making a big mistake, Anthony replies hotly.
Look at you, giving up your stake in our father's company and moving here.
And for what? Tell me one thing that's here for you.
Mom, I say. Truth be told, the list ends there, but it's enough.
Anthony goes silent, guilt showing on his face.
I know why. He wanted desperately to go with Dad like I did, to live the good life. But that would have left our mother all alone.
You're right, he says quietly. There's Mom.
I nod. And I need you to spend time with her while I'm gone. In fact, I want you to stay at her house rather than the dorm. Martha shouldn't be the one taking care of her.
Anthony looks pained at that comment.
Damn, man. Travis said he was going to hook me up with this hot chick this weekend.
The stony look on my face shuts him up.
I'm going to need you to stop making excuses. Take some fucking responsibility for once.
Before Anthony can start, I cut him off.
I was supposed to help her with fixing the lights in the basement. She twisted her ankle doing laundry and needs a few things done around the house.
Anthony swallows.
I didn't know.
You don't call. You never check on her. I could go off on him about how he lives in the same town and neglects his mother. I checked in with Mom more when I was in college, and I was several states away. He lives in the same town.
I've just been busy with classes, schoolwork. This shit's harder for me than it was for you.
I turn away, looking out the window and ending the conversation. I don't need to hear his excuses. I've always known that actions speak louder than words, and Anthony's actions have amounted to diddly squat when it comes to his relationship with our mother.
Finally, as we pull up in front of Mom's house, I turn back to him, my voice quiet.
There's more to life than just having a corner office, fucking chicks and partying. Time to be a man, Anthony.
Oh my word, my two boys,
my mom, Jamie Steele, says as we step into the living room of her house. She tries to get up from her seat, an old raggedy recliner, but I quickly motion her back down, noticing her bandaged ankle.
Sit down, Mom, I tell her, closing the door.
No pressure on the ankle, remember?
I don't give her a chance to respond. I quickly make my way across the room, bend down, and pull her into my arms.
It's been a few days since I last saw her, but she looks disheveled, her hair in disarray. She has fine frown lines going down the front of her lips brought on by cigarette smoke. Another thing Gavin and I agree on. I hate cigarettes, but I can't stop her. It makes her look a lot older than she really is.
Her eyes light up when I step away, and she looks at Anthony.
And Anthony, too. What have I done to deserve this?
Oh, stop it, Anthony says sheepishly,
coming forward to give her a hug.
I can't help it, she says as she pulls away. You never come to see me. The last time I had you both under this roof is when Oliver came home from...
Her voice trails off, and a distant look comes over her eyes. I know what she's thinking about. How I left her to be my father's pet child. I thought she'd be okay with Anthony, but he resented the fact that I was gone, and took it out on her like any kid would, with lots of stress and back talk. It was only the fact that he was a kid when he did it that saved him from an ass-beating. She didn't tell me how bad it was until I came back home. I was furious when I found out what was really going on. At the same time, I felt guilty. I felt like maybe I shouldn't have left. And to know that she didn't take one red cent from my father makes it worse. She lives off the meager income she gets from her job as an office manager for a trucking company. I try to give her money to help, but she's too prideful to take any. I barely convinced her to take time off work with her ankle. You know I'm sorry, Anthony says, and I think Mom's words hit him harder than mine did. I'm going to try to do better. Oliver told me that you hurt your ankle.
Yeah, I was trying to get the fabric softener refill in the basement when I fell, Mom says. My own fault. You know, Anthony, if you'd be more dependable.
I think Anthony's had enough. I went in on him the way over here, so I interrupt Mom before she can really get going. Mom, Anthony's going to be staying with you for the week. I asked him to help out at my office, and then he said he wanted to spend some quality time with you. Anthony gives me a grateful look as Mom turns to him, her face brightening in disbelief.
Tony, is that true?
He nods his head.
Yes.
I'll help out with any work you need around the house. Help out with groceries, take care of the basement, all that. You'll see, Mom, I say. Tony's going to be a great help while I'm gone. My mom turns to me.
Gone? Gone where?
I grit my teeth. I can lie to Anthony, but I can't lie to Mom. Just going away for a week to a wedding. My mom's eyebrows raise.
A wedding? Whose wedding?
A friend's. I'm going as someone's date. It's not a total lie, but one I can get away with. I can hear Anthony grind his teeth, and I know I've got some explaining to do with him later. Not now.
It must be someone important if you have to leave town for a week.
Mom fishes a bit too eagerly.
It sure would be nice to have some grandbabies.
I almost blanch. She snuck that one in there with the quickness I wasn't prepared for. Babies are the furthest thing from my mind right now. It's totally not like that, I say, my tone firm, letting her know the discussion is closed. I'm doing it as a favor. My mom looks around suddenly, very excited.
Well, since I have you both here, why don't I make your favorite, cherry pie? If nothing else, we can spend some family time together before you leave with some good home-style cooking.
My mom grins, and I'm so glad I forced Anthony to come. She's the happiest I've seen her in a long time. Sure, Mom, as long as you stay off your ankle.
Well, you know, back in my day, there was a song about cherry pie. Mine's sweet enough to make a grown man cry, Mom boasts with a laugh.
Anthony groans, slapping his forehead.
Really, Mom? That's not what the song's about. Please stop.
I open my mouth to comment, but right then, Mindy pops in my mind. Her long legs, her sweet lips. And I have to think that maybe that band had a point. There's a sweet cherry pie, and I plan on tasting it.
Chapter 5. Mindy. How did it go? Brianna asks me. When I walked in on you guys, it looked like you'd seen a ghost. We're in my bedroom, and I'm getting the clothes ready that I'm going to wear for my trip. I packed a lot of nice dresses, and now I've got a problem. I might have packed some nice things, but I've got to do some shopping to get a few more outfits that would be more in line with what my mom would expect. Peering at myself in the mirror, I spin around and place my hands on my hips, fixing Brianna with a scowl. I don't appreciate your sending me in there unarmed. He was an asshole. Brianna lets out a laugh. Unarmed? What did you want to go in there with? A shotgun? I've never known a man you couldn't wrap around your finger in about 2 minutes flat, she says with a snap of her fingers. I shrug. I don't know. A big fat dildo, maybe? So I could have shoved it up his cocky ass? Mindy, Brianna protests. What did I tell you about these words around Rafe? You can't be saying those things. He started repeating every new word that he hears. Sorry, Rafe, I say to the little boy who's sitting atop a mountain of my discarded clothes, playing with one of my sports bras. I get lucky, as he seems to have ignored my foul mouth, and instead pulls one of my sports bras on top of his head. Look, Mommy, I'm a duocone. A what? I ask, giving Bri a glance. Cartoon, Brianna says with a chuckle before looking back at me. Still, why so mad? Are you kidding? I was sweating bullets before I even walked in there, I say, my face flushing. He wasn't what I expected, and I'm just frustrated that he was able to get the upper hand on me. And I clench my fists, my breath tight in my throat. He got to me, okay? Brianna's jaw drops. I can't believe I'm hearing this. Aren't you supposed to be Miss Fearless? The woman who takes life by the balls? Balls, echoes Rafe. I like balls. I mock scold Brianna, sticking out my tongue. Wanna tell me where your son gets his bad language again? Brianna scowls at me. I'm so going to kill you. I spread my arms defensively as Brianna glares murder at me. I just wish you would have told me. Told you what? Brianna asks, trying hard to be mad but looking like she wants to burst into laughter. I gesture sharply, leaning in to whisper so Rafe can't hear. That he was hot as fuck. Bri looks at me out of the side of her eyes before she shakes her head. How was I supposed to know? I'd never met him. I don't believe you, I say. You did that on purpose. Brianna looks genuinely hurt. I swear to you, I didn't. I never saw him before I walked into the room with Gavin. It was his idea. I look into my best friend's eyes to see she's telling the truth, and I sigh, shaking my head but not smiling yet. Never mind that. I seriously don't know how I'm going to live a week with that guy without killing him. Brianna glances at Rafe, who's now quite happily turning my Under Armour sports bras into hand puppets, and leads me into my connecting bathroom. Was he that bad? You're damn right, I growl, letting go for the first time. You want to know what he told me? What? My hand goes to my throat, remembering his deep voice and the way it both pissed me off and turned me on. Basically, that he would do anything to me that he wants, since we're supposed to be engaged. Brianna gapes. He did not. I nod, my skin flushed. It pisses me off that I'm getting hot thinking about it. Brianna thinks for a minute, then chuckles. Well, shit. You said he's hot, right? That should be right up your alley. I glower at her. What's that supposed to mean? Brianna shrugs, leaning against the bathroom wall and grinning. I recall a certain person urging me to sleep with Gavin when I barely knew him. But this is different, I protest. Gavin was sweet. He wanted to court you, treat you like a princess. This guy? I shake my head as the curl of his cocky lips appears in my mind. Oh, what those lips could do to my... I shove the treasonous thoughts away, my chest heaving. He's different. Let's just leave it at that. You all right? Brianna teases, raising an eyebrow. Feeling a little hot in here? Need a cold shower or two? I wave her off. I'll be fine. Mm-hmm, Brianna replies. So should I close the door behind me so you can break out your purple friend? I scowl. Please. He might be hot, but he's not that hot. I smile, and we both start laughing at how bad my lie was. I might need to take it with me, though, I admit. We're going to have to fake all this affection. From what he says, he's not exactly worried about keeping his hands to himself, but with how he was talking to me, I'm not about to sleep with him. Right then, I see Rafe pull out a red number from the pile of clothes, a dress I bought years ago but have never worn. Even for me, it's pretty sexy and flirty. Oh, Rafe, I can just kiss you, I say, rushing over and grabbing it from him. But he hangs on like a toddler will. He giggles as I tickle him and deliver kisses to his head, letting go of the dress and letting me snatch it up without any more trouble. I rush back to the bathroom and pull it on. It doesn't go with the undies I'm wearing today, and I'm not wearing heels, but it gives me an idea. I come back out, spreading my arms and twirling a few times for Brianna. How do I look? Brianna's eyes go wide. I think you know how you look. Good, I say with a naughty grin, the plan cooking up in my head on the fly. Because I'm going to wear this tomorrow to meet Oliver. Brianna looks at me like she's about ready to call the psych ward. Seriously? You just said you weren't going to sleep with him, but then you're going to wear something like that? Don't make me say what that dress is screaming. Not with Rafe around. I make a face, wiggling my butt in Bree's direction as I check myself in the mirror. I know the heels I need to wear with this. They'd make me, oh yeah. I'm not gonna sleep with him, but two can play his game. Right, Brianna says. She grins as she gets the point of my plan. You're going to grab the bull by his horn. More or less, I say as I place my hands on my hips, admiring the dress that hugs my curves like saran wrap. Oh, I most certainly fucking will.
Chapter 6. Oliver. Remember, I tell Tony as we pull up to the curb of the airport. I hired a driver again, both for convenience and to make sure Tony and I can talk. Don't pull any bullshit while I'm gone, or you're going to find your ass and your head meeting. Relax, I got it, Tony says, annoyed. You've only said it 100 times before. Good. Take care of Mom. We're all she's got, I remind him, more gently this time. She needs us. Damn, Ollie, you're just leaving for a week, not a lifetime, Tony says with a grimace. We pull up in front of the airport, and I offer Tony my hand as we come to a stop. Take care. I'll be in touch. Tony shakes, and I'm encouraged. He's got a man's grip. I get out of the car and grab my bags out of the back. With a wave, I slap the hood and watch the car take off. I stop and look around. I got a text from Gavin this morning telling me that Mindy would be here before I was, but she's nowhere in sight. I wait 5 minutes, and I'm about to pull out my phone when Brianna rolls up with Mindy, the sunroof down on her convertible. She gets out of the car, and I have to fight to keep my expression neutral. She's wearing dark shades and a tight body-hugging red dress. She might as well be wearing nothing at all. Blood pumps furiously to my cock as it instantly hardens. Good thing I'm wearing a sport coat. Hey, Oliver, Brianna greets chirpily as she gets out of the car. Mindy pretends she doesn't notice me, walking around to the side and bending over to get her bags out of the back, giving me an unrivaled view of her ass. I'm pretty sure she's doing it on purpose. I swallow hard as fire runs through me. I see her toss a little glance behind her, and then quickly look away as she slowly pulls her bag. I knew it. She's doing this shit on purpose. Okay, princess. You want to play? Challenge accepted. Hello, Brianna, I say politely, trying to keep the strain out of my voice. You're looking as beautiful as ever. Gavin's a lucky man. She walks over, gesturing at me with a smile.
Looking good yourself, Mr. Fiancé. What is that, Gucci?
I chuckle. Thanks. I figured I'd play the part. Mindy's supposed to have this stud of a date, so I dress down a little. Brianna chuckles, then leans in to whisper to me.
Thank you for doing this.
I shake my head. I still don't get why this charade is needed, but whatever. It's no problem. I think it'll be fun, I say, trying to restrain a grin from spreading across my face. Brianna gives me a measured look, and I wondered how much her husband has told her about me.
I think that's it, Mindy says, pulling our attention to her.
She has a small hoard of luggage. She's packed for a month, not a damn week.
So where's the red cap?
Brianna winks at me and stands on her tiptoes to pat me on my shoulder.
Take care of her for me, okay? She can be a handful.
I give her a polite nod. Regardless of the dirty things that dress makes me want to do to Mindy and her body right now, I can tell Brianna cares about her a lot. I'll do my best. There's a twinkle of mischievousness in Brianna's eyes when she turns away, and something tells me that she's laughing at an inner joke. Something tells me Mindy's got something up her sleeve.
Bye, Trick, Brianna says to Mindy, giving her a hug. I'll miss you, even if it's only for a week.
Bye, hussy, Mindy says, delivering a quick peck on her cheek. Please control your language around my little Ray Felicious while I'm gone. It's really getting out of control. I'd like to know someone's raising him right. Brianna turns to me, a mock scowl on her face.
You know what? I take that back. Have your way with her.
Mindy gawks, then laughs defensively. She wasn't expecting that one.
Oh, come on. You know I love you.
Nope, not listening,
Brianna says, sticking her fingers in her ears as she walks around and jumps into the driver's seat.
I hope you get hogtied and covered in honey.
Oh, the ideas that brings to my mind. Mindy blushes too, but waves it off with a laugh.
Whatever.
That's right,
Brianna says cheerfully. She starts up her car and gives us both a playful wave.
Bye, Felicia.
She drives off, leaving Mindy looking almost shocked.
I'm so gonna kill you when I get back,
Mindy yells at the fleeing car, flipping the bird. I chuckle at their antics. I don't know if they've always been this way. Kevin says that his wife used to be pretty shy, but she could have fooled me. When Brianna is gone, I walk over to Mindy. I look her up and down, letting my eyes tell her just how much I like it. Dressed for the weather? She looks down at the dress before giving me a saucy grin and putting on a terrible Scarlett O'Hara fake accent, teasing me again.
This little old thing? I just threw it on.
Painted it on is more like it, I think, checking her out again. It looks good on you, I admit, but not offering too much. I'm not going to let her think she has power over me, and think I'm going to obey her little rules. A blush comes over her face and she looks away.
Thanks.
She turns back around a moment later.
Can you get my bags?
Just a second, I tell her, holding in my grin. I pull out a black velvet box from my pocket, raising an eyebrow. You're missing something.
What is that?
She begins to ask. Her breath catches in her throat as I open it to reveal a platinum engagement ring with two stones, emerald and diamond to match our birth months. Gavin was helpful.
Oh, my.
I lean in close, pressing my body into hers, letting her feel my cock pressing into her side and whispering in her ear. She's trembling already, and I feel confidence returning. She's so going to be mine. For you, I say, meaning both my cock and the ring. I pull away a second later, grinning at the effect my moves have on her. I'm sure it's just the right size. She's red in the face, and her chest is heaving as I take the ring out of the box and place it on her finger. A perfect fit, of course.
Why?
She begins to say breathlessly when I step away, staring at the ring as if it's magic, and she's not sure if it's good magic or bad yet.
How did you?
The details don't matter, princess, I tell her. We're supposed to be engaged. How would it look if you show up without an engagement ring? She looks like she wants to say something, but she knows I'm right.
You're right,
she mutters so low I can barely hear her.
I guess I didn't think about that. Where'd you get it?
I wink at her and throw her words back in her face. That old thing? Well, I just found it lying around somewhere. I hold in my grin as she scowls at me, and I call the red cap for her bags. We check in the airport and walk through the terminal. On the way to the plane, she says very little. I try to keep my eyes off her tight curves, wanting to keep the little edge that I've got. But by the time we board the plane and get in our seats, some of her spark has returned. We're flying first class, of course, and she knows as she slides past me to the window seat exactly how much her ass is in my face. The flight attendant brings us some pre-takeoff drinks, and she turns to me, raising her glass. "This ring is beautiful," she says, her shoulder brushing mine as she leans slightly in to toast me. Up close, I can smell her perfume, and it smells like heaven. Running her finger along the band, she chuckles as she checks out the stones. "Nice bullshit story about where you got it, though. So you're a May baby?" "I am," I admit. "Figured it'd help you remember." "Nice idea," she says with a chuckle. "So where'd you get it?" Damn, she really wants to know badly. Well, it won't hurt to tell her. "I got it from Feinberg's in the middle of town. He's got a good selection of stuff."
"It must have been a small fortune," Mindy says, biting her lip unconsciously.
"It wasn't cheap," I confirm. "Actually, Feinberg will let me bring it back, minus $1,000. But Mindy doesn't need to know that. Besides, the ring looks good on her hand." I clear my throat as the plane begins to taxi. "So what's this place like?"
"Summerfield?" Mindy says, looking out the window for a moment. "It's a rich bay town, sort of like the Keys or Martha's Vineyard. Oh, by the way, for the next week, your name is going to be Harold."
"Harold?" I ask, raising an eyebrow. "You must be fucking kidding me."
"You got a problem with that?" Mindy asks in challenge. "Seriously, it's what they're expecting."
"I'll go by Oliver," I say firmly. "There's no way in hell I'm answering to Harold."
"But,"
Mindy says, stopping when I shake my head. "We'll say Harold's a bad joke of a name you gave me, for something being especially hairy." Her mouth opens and shuts like a fish, and I hold in a grin.
"Nothing wrong with being called Harold," she grumbles after a moment, having to get the last word in. "I had a goldfish named Harold. By the way, did you rehearse the names?"
I looked at it a little. To be honest, I couldn't focus much on anything but Mindy. She sucks in a breath, frustrated.
"Okay, let me give you some tips. Mother can be bossy. She'll try to run all over you. Grandma pretends to be dumb, but don't let it fool you. She's as sharp as a tack."
"Anything else?" I ask. Sounds like Mindy's not going to be the only fun I have this next week.
"Listen to me and follow my orders, and you'll be fine."
I have to grin. She should know by now. "What did I tell you about that, princess?" Mindy hums and turns back, her hand brushing her cup and dumping half a Sprite with ice in my lap.
"Oh, Harold, I'm sorry," she says with an overly dramatic gasp.
Before I can react, she gets a napkin and dabs at my crotch. Her strokes barely brush the top of my dick, and it twitches, wanting nothing more than to get rid of the two layers of fabric between me and her soft fingers. I grab her hand a second later when the shock wears off, putting it firmly in her lap. "I got it," I say. "You should be more careful." My cock is straining against my pants so much it hurts. She was intentionally brushing her hand up against my cock. My cheeks are flaming, and I have to use the photo book to hide my crotch as the plane makes their final turn and starts down the runway, accelerating into the air.
"I really am sorry," Mindy says with faux sincerity as we reach our cruising altitude. "I so didn't mean to do that."
"Yeah, right." The little triumphant smile I see on her face says it all. This is fucking war.
Chapter 7. Mindy. My heart pounds in my chest as the limo rolls to a stop in front of Wentworth Estate, parking on the circular driveway. It's like something out of a storybook, or maybe even a painting. Lush green grass is perfectly trimmed on the huge manicured lawns. Three statues adorn the lawn, all of them classically themed pieces, one of them a man on a horse. If I remember what Mom told me, it's supposed to be a Wentworth, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor back in the Civil War, or something like that. "It's beautiful," I breathe, momentarily stunned. "It's nice," Oliver agrees. For some reason, his lack of gushing pisses me off. He sounds so casual about it all. I'm still smarting over what he did, pushing his body into me when he gave me the ring, intentionally pressing his big, hard. Wait, what am I thinking? I shove the thought away, my face turning red. Jesus, will it ever stop? We're not even a day in, and I can already cut the sexual tension with a knife. My body is on hormonal overdrive, and I've still got 6 days, 18 hours, and too many damn minutes before we're done with this charade. You okay? Oliver asks, seeing my trouble. Did the plane ride upset your stomach or something? I wave off his concern, not letting on to my desire. I can't let him know just how much he's affecting me. You can save the hero act for a bit. I'm just a little nervous, that's all. The corner of his lips curl up into a grin, and I grit my teeth. I got the last laugh on the plane, but somehow I know he has the upper hand now. Hey, don't worry about me, I say. Remember the backstory? Yeah, yeah, Oliver says, rolling his eyes. He doesn't understand yet. Mom and Grandma both have minds like tape recorders, and the cross-examining skills of a lawyer. They'll tear him apart if he starts screwing around. You only said it a million times on the way over here. We've been together a year. I walked into your coffee shop and told you that you were the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Short and sweet. A flush comes to my chest. The words sound nice, even though they're fake. Yeah, something like that. Don't forget about you dropping to your knees when I said yes. Oliver's smirk turns into a genuine smile, and I feel my flesh deepen. Don't worry, he says, giving me a reassuring, smoldering look. They're going to buy every word. We'll see about going to my knees, though. Somehow his words don't give me comfort. It's like everything he says has layers of meaning, and no matter what, my mind wants to think of sex. Like him covering my body in kisses and being on his knees, his lips. The door opens and the driver, an old man named Sam, stands ready for us. The Wentworth estate. Please watch your step on the gravel, miss. I step out, relishing the cool breeze that blows in lightly from the east, caressing my soft flesh as I take in the scenery. It's a beautiful day with sunny, clear skies. The large French provincial mansion looming against the azure sky. If I weren't so nervous, I'd be amazed. Don't worry about your bags, Sam says when Ollie makes a move to grab them out of the back of the limo. The house staff will get them and make sure they're delivered to the proper bedroom. Oliver gives me a look. The house staff? I just shrug. I knew John had money, but I've never cared enough to find out exactly how much. I was expecting a nice big house, not a damn castle with house staff. I'm just rolling with it. If you'll come with me, the driver says. Sam leads us to the cobblestone walkway that leads to the huge double-door entry of the mansion. As we head up, Oliver places his hand on the small of my back. Warm currents begin to ripple out from his touch, and I squirm on the inside, flustered. What are you doing? I whisper out of the side of my mouth, alarmed by what his touch is doing to me. How am I supposed to share a bedroom with this man for a whole week? Being your fiancé, he whispers back, grinning at me. Come on, princess. Let's meet the fam. He says it so sweetly that I almost wish it were true for a second. A part of me likes being on his strong arm, though I'd never admit it to him. By the time we reach the double doors, my forehead is dotted in sweat. My heart is pounding in my chest like I just sprinted a half mile or something. Truth be told, I'm overcome with sudden anxiety. Too late to worry now, I realize, as Sam puts his hand on the twin handles of the front door. I'm in too deep. The large door springs open before the driver can turn the handles, and out steps my mother with a small barking dog, a fluffy white Pomeranian at her side. Sam springs out of the way. Pretty spry for a guy his age, which is a good thing, or else he'd get run over. Mindy, my darling, my mother sings, stepping forward with her arms outstretched. The woman is practically dripping in diamonds. With a matching necklace, bracelet, and earring set over top of her white brocade dress that flows down her body all the way to her ankles, It's been so long. Mom, I say as we embrace. I smell her perfume, and it smells expensive as hell. I've missed you. I pull back and feel tears forming in my eyes as I survey her. Her face looks different from when I last saw her. The wrinkles that had begun to show around her eyes are mysteriously gone, along with her forehead wrinkles. It's a little weird, and I wonder if Mom's just feeling youthful from love, or if she had a little help from Botox. You're looking good. Not as good as me, but you'd do just fine in a singles bar on ladies' night. My mother laughs. Yeah, well, that's in the past for me. You look good too, honey. I never could have worn a dress like that at your age. Who's this little lady? I say, gesturing at the dog who's running circles around our feet, barking and carrying on in an attempt to deflect attention away from my dress. I feel nervous enough, feeling Oliver's hand still on my lower back. I can't decide if I want his hand higher or lower. Oh, that's Bertha, Mom says with a dismissive wave of her hand. A puppy John got me several months into our courtship. She's a handful, but I can't imagine this place without her. Weird name for a tiny little dog, if you ask me. But hey. Mom turns her gaze on Oliver, her eyes widening as if noticing him for the first time. Mindy, you never said your young man was this handsome. Why, you're practically perfect. He is, I mutter, not quite sure what I'm agreeing with. I step away from Oliver, using hand gestures to complete the introductions. Harold, this is my mother, Mary Jo. Mom, this is Harold. Oliver grins, taking my mother's hand and gently kissing the back of it, his eyes twinkling. It's a pleasure, ma'am. They say that a man can see his future wife when he looks at her mother. And I'm a lucky man. My mom looks at me approvingly, sounding slightly out of breath. Oh, Mindy, I like him. Don't be fooled, I say under my breath before replying. Thanks, Mom. Mom shakes her head, running her hand down the length of Oliver's arm in admiration, as if he's a toy on display. You must work out a lot, Harold. You'll like the gym, I hope. Oliver, please, he says gently. When my mom looks at him in question, he chuckles. I prefer to go by my middle name. She looks at me, her eyes accusing. How come you never told me that? I'm at a loss for words when Oliver saves me. She's always forgetting things, Oliver cuts in. She even forgot the day we first met, and when I decided to honor my grandfather by going by my middle name. I turn a dark scowl on Oliver, trying to tell him to stop it with my eyes. He grins at me and winks, but before I can reply, I hear a voice from the doorway. Well, I heard that you had your mother's beauty, but that just doesn't do it justice. It's good to finally meet you, Mindy. A white-haired, distinguished-looking man steps through the doorway, dressed in a fine gray suit and tie, everything about him perfectly groomed. Honey, Mindy, this is John, my wonderful fiancé. My mom gushes as John takes my hand and kisses it, his mustache prickling lightly on my skin. It tickles, and I have to smile a little as he steps back, clasping my hand in both of his and smiling. Nice to meet you, John, I say politely. It's a pleasure. He turns to Oliver, sizing him up the way men do, and looking impressed. And this is Harold? Oliver. Oliver corrects as he offers his hand, and the two men shake in another one of those male measuring sticks, both looking like they passed the other's test. I recently decided to go by my middle name. Well then, John says, gesturing inside. Come on in. Let me give you the 10-cent tour. My breath is taken away again as we step fully into the foyer. Gleaming marble floors, impossibly high ceilings, and a winding staircase make the entryway look like a grand entrance to heaven. Wow, I breathe. So which king did you rob to get all of this stuff? My mom clasps her hands together with pleasure. It's like a palace, isn't it? The first time I stepped inside, I felt like I'd had my Cinderella moment. Nice place you've got here, Oliver says, again sounding not as impressed as I thought he'd be. Everything is, I start before Oliver pulls me to a stop, cutting off my words. It's nearly as beautiful as my little princess, Oliver says, taking me by surprise when he pulls me close. And before I can do anything, he kisses me on the lips. His kiss is intense, powerful, and before I know it, I'm kissing him back, even as his hands pull me against his hard body. I feel a growing heat rising again between my thighs. I'm left breathless, chest heaving when he pulls away. I flash murder at him as he whispers in my ear, "Payback for your little stunt on the plane." I can hardly listen. My body is hot, and I know my nipples are tight and aching inside my dress. I'm probably poking through the thin bra I wore to show off the dress. My cheeks burn, and I'm so embarrassed to be turned on in front of my mom. "You okay?" she asks me, amused. Young love is so passionate. "I'm fine," I stammer, pushing away and not wanting to. He caught me off guard, and someone forgot we had garlic chicken on the plane. "Tic-tac next time, honey?" Oliver flashes his mocking smirk at me before giving Mom a raised eyebrow. I always leave her breathless. "Sorry, I couldn't resist. Your daughter's too beautiful." John chuckles at that. "I'm liking you already." He pulls out a cigar and inhales as he runs it under his nose before sticking it in the corner of his mouth. "Trust me, I'm so glad I can get these legally now. They're a bad habit, but I allow myself one or two a week. Cuban. Imported directly from Havana. Come, Oliver, let me get to know my eventual son-in-law." Oliver smiles. "Got any Cuban rum to go with that cigar?" "How's Jamaican? And do you like cars?" John asks, his eyes twinkling merrily. Oliver laughs. "Of course I do. When I was a kid, I had all the best sports cars in my toy collection." John seems giddy like a schoolboy, and he claps Oliver on the shoulder, charmed already. "Come with me and I'll show you my garage. I'm sure there's something there you'd like. Let these ladies catch up." The two of them head off, Oliver giving me a wink. After they leave, Mom leads me through the mansion. "Where is everyone?" I ask as we leave the foyer. "Where's Roxy? And where's this staff I'm hearing about?" "It's not all that," Mom says with a shrug. "John sent the staff on duty to town together. I wanted to do something special for dinner. As for Roxy, she's with your aunt out getting their dresses for the rehearsal dinner." "I can't wait to see them," I tell Mom honestly. "It's been too long." Mom shows me around the house, and as we do, I feel a question that's been on my mind for a long time bubbling to the surface. Finally, I have to ask. "Mom?" "Yes, honey?" Mom asks, stopping in front of the 18th century German grandfather clock that she's been going on about for a while. "What is it?" "Mom, do you love him?" She gives me a questioning look. "What do you mean, Mindy? Do I love John?" "Yes," I say, letting my fears out. "Most of the time you talk about him, it's about his money, his things, his stuff. You come to the door looking like you've stepped out of an old Elizabeth Taylor movie or something. But what about John?" Mom nods, looking at the bracelet on her arm, then chuckles. "If John lost it all tomorrow, if we had to hawk these diamonds, if we were left with nothing but the clothes on our backs and the feelings we share, I'd still marry him. I love him, Mindy. It's just hard for me to put my feelings about John into words, so I talk about his things instead. You don't know how strange it is, telling my adult daughter about how I'm left feeling like a schoolgirl again, what's the word Oliver used for you?" "Princess," I say automatically, and Mom laughs. "Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm 54 and I feel like a princess," Mom says, reassuring my fears. "So what about Oliver? He seems to be very into you." I start, lost in thoughts over Oliver's kiss. My lips still tingle, and my body feels warm even at the memory, and I stammer for words. "He's great." "Seems more than great to me. He seems like a catch," Mom says. But before she can say anything, there's a booming sound as the doors to the estate are thrown open, and a voice I've long missed calls out, "Mom, we're home." Roxy. Oh my God. I've got to get back into performance mode. Roxy's going to want to see Oliver, and he's going to want to kiss me again, and my body. I'm babbling in my head, and I can't stop it. Mindy? Mom says, shaking me back to the moment. Hey, you okay? You looked pale there for a second. Was it the airline food? No. No, I'm fine, Mom. I lie, wishing it were just the airline food. Fine? I'm not fine. And now I have to deal with Roxy and Grandma. Shit.
Chapter 8. Oliver.
Oh, my darling niece, Aunt Rita coos as she comes forward and wraps her arms around Mindy. We're in the waiting room just outside the dining room.
John and I spent a good hour in the garage going over his pretty sweet collection, and now it's time for dinner. Mary Jo made us all wait outside for the rest of the family to get acquainted with me while dinner was being prepared. I'm glad I dressed the part. This family seems to like dressing up. Chalk one up to my father's constant social skills lessons. I can go back to being a blue blood very quickly. There's a few more people here now. Behind Aunt Rita, Mindy's grandmother is with two girls. One who's nearly the spitting image of Mindy, except that her hair's shorter. She must be Roxy. The other looks like she'd prefer to be anywhere else but here.
Hey, Auntie, Mindy says excitedly, taking her in an embrace and delivering a kiss to her cheek.
She takes turn embracing each woman, then steps back, giving her aunt a questioning tilt to her head.
Where's Uncle Charles?
He's outside having a smoke, Rita replies, sighing and rolling her eyes.
No matter what I try, I just can't get that man to stop. You take a pack away, he's got 7 more hidden.
John, I see, has a guilty look as his hand unconsciously pats the suit pocket where he'd put his cigar case, and I'm glad I didn't take him up on his offer. I seriously doubt he's going to pull another out for as long as Rita's around. Meanwhile, Rita turns her eyes on me, and I can feel the question burning in everyone's eyes.
Who is this fine young man?
This is Oliver, my fiancé, Mindy announces proudly, gesturing to each woman in turn.
Ollie, this is my Aunt Rita, my cousin Layla, my sister Roxy, and my grandma Ivy Joe.
Nice to meet you, ladies, I say, flashing them all a charming smile. And thank you, Princess, for remembering my name this time. Ivy Joe holds out her arms at me as Mindy gives me an evil look.
Don't stand across the room, young man. Come give an old lady a hug.
I chuckle and do as she commands. Who am I to resist the charms of a beautiful woman like you?
Oh, stop it, she murmurs as she pulls me into a hug and runs her hands up and down my back, finishing with a pinch of my butt. Nice and strong, just like old Johnny used to be.
Grandma,
Mindy says warningly and casts me a sympathetic glance.
Let's not molest my fiancé before dinner, please.
I chuckle. It's okay. Sometimes it's nice to eat your dessert before dinner, I tease. Mindy blushes slightly, and I give Grandma my full attention.
Johnny's your husband?
Was, she corrects, but I can tell by her voice that it's an old loss.
He's worm food now. But boy, do I enjoy remembering the days when he used to hike these old legs back and...
Mindy coughs loudly, shaking her head, while Layla grabs her grandmother by the shoulders and pulls her to the side, shutting her up.
Ah, she gets that way.
No problem, I reply with a laugh. I love doing some hiking myself, I say, looking over to make sure Mindy heard me. Layla gives me a grateful nod while Mindy turns a deeper shade of red, and Roxy steps forward, peering at me with wide eyes.
Oh my God, he's gorgeous, she exclaims to Mindy.
Girl, you got a keeper. No wonder you wouldn't stop bragging about how good he was in bed.
Mindy scowls murder at her sister.
Roxy, please don't.
Roxy shakes her head, not listening.
Shoot. I might have to go back home with you if they're serving up dishes like this.
She gives me a look.
You got a brother?
You know, for the longest time, I swore you were just the battery-operated fantasies of a girl who wasn't getting her needs met. Glad to see I'm wrong.
Ignore her, Mindy half pleads, half commands. This is hilarious.
She's just being silly.
What?
Roxy asks, giving her sister a smirk. So anyway, about there maybe being a younger version of you?
I chuckle. I like her already. Yeah, I have one. But you'd want to kill him after 5 minutes. I have a feeling Tony would like you, though.
Why's that? Roxy asks, her eyes going slightly wide.
Well, he kind of likes anything with a vagina and a pulse. Mindy glares at me with eyes that seem to say, I want to kill you. But Roxy just laughs. She's enjoying the banter. I hear you're a singer, I say. What do you sing? Roxy lights up like a light bulb.
Yes, I have my own band. We sing on Friday nights and weekends at a bar in town called Trixie's. Lots of rock, but we mix in pop, too. We kind of have to, depending on the night.
Really? I say honestly. That's impressive.
Little Roxy has a beautiful voice, Rita says. Why don't you sing a few lines for the man?
Please, let's not, says Layla with a roll of her eyes. I can only handle so much ass-kissing at once.
I ignore Layla and give Roxy a smile. Go for it if you want. Roxy looks like she just hit the jackpot.
I can, she says with a dimpled smile. What do you like? Beyonce? Taylor Swift? Katy Perry?
I laugh. I'm more of a Johnny Cash man myself, so I'll let you choose.
Honey, I don't do country. But I can start singing some Fifth Harmony and Mindy can start twerking for us. Remember your last birthday when you got drunk and they started Worth It? Oh, my God.
Mindy places her hands on her hips and opens her mouth to berate her sister when the doors to the dining room swing open and Mary Jo appears in the doorway, clapping her hands and beaming at us all.
Dinner's ready.
We go into the dining room, where I see that Mary Jo has actually gone to the trouble of putting place cards out for everyone. While I help Mindy with her chair, a short, tubby man who smells like every nasty, old-ass, smoky bar in the world comes in, walking by me and spewing clouds of noxious odor behind him. Sorry I'm late. Rita tries to hold back her disgust as Charles sits next to her, but I can understand. The man smells like he didn't have one cig, but the whole damn pack.
Charles, if you don't mind.
Piss off, he growls. And I'm about to say something about being respectful, but I feel Mindy dig her fingernails into my thigh as she gives me a small shake of her head. I get it. I don't know these people, and it's not my place, but it's hard to watch the disrespect.
So, how long have you worked for Honda? Grandma asks as we wait for the servers.
I didn't know they have an office in town.
Oh, since I graduated school, and I have to commute, I say quickly, keeping a smile on my face. Mindy gave me some details, but a lot of it I'm just making up on the fly. It's worth it, though, small-town living and all that. And how did you first meet? John asks.
Mindy smiles and tries to take the lead. Well, you guys have to listen to this. I was in the coffee shop, my hair all messed up. He walks in and says I've been...
Actually, I came into the coffee shop and was sitting down. Mindy started flirting with me, asking if I worked out. I was surprised by her boldness, but I liked it. I had to give her my number when she asked me for it.
That sounds like my Mindy, Ivy Jo winks. Forget the clothes. Check out the biceps.
I don't blame her. I'd have been offering free fraps and singing Call Me Maybe if I'd had the chance, Roxy adds with a grin. And I hate that song.
Now, now, Roxy. Mary Jo says, I think you've embarrassed your sister enough.
Just kidding, Mom, Roxy says, obviously not apologetic. But seriously, Oliver, you do look like you work out. I'll play the guy here. So what's your bench?
I really don't know, I reply. I'm more into martial arts than lifting.
Really? You didn't tell us you were dating Bruce Lee, Roxy teases Mindy.
Beside me, I feel Mindy go stiff, and I don't have to look to know she's cutting me with her eyes.
She reaches over and puts her hand on my thigh, giving me a fake smile, when there's a commotion at the other end of the table.
Jesus!
Ivy Joe squeals as we hear a yelp, and suddenly Bertha goes running around the dining room in fear.
Mary Joe, you get that heifer on a leash, or I'm gonna skin it and make me a coat. Or maybe a rug.
Bertha, you behave, Mary Joe snaps, and Bertha runs out. She looks at me apologetically.
Sorry.
Oh, it's no problem, I say easily. You don't like dogs, I take it? I ask Ivy Joe. She raises her nose to the ceiling.
I'm more of a cat lady myself.
I chuckle. My dog would never let me own a cat.
Oh yeah, your golden retriever, Mindy says. What was his name?
Her name was Hershey, and she was a brown spaniel, I say casually, chuckling as I look at Mary Joe. What was it I said about her being forgetful? I don't have to look in her direction to know Mindy is cutting her eyes at me again, but I ignore it, enjoying conversation with her family. Besides Charles, I think I like everyone in the room. They're certainly not the cultured one percenters you'd think of with a place like this, but they are real, and I'll take real over a pedigree any day. Everything is going fine and smooth when Mindy suddenly sets her napkin aside and gets up from the table.
Can I speak to you outside?
She says, walking to the doorway and turning around to give me a look that says, now. Sorry, I say, flashing a wink at everyone. Relationship goals. There's a polite chuckle from the group as I leave the table, following Mindy out the back door. We step into the marble patio, and I take a second to admire the layout of the back garden. It's beautiful, with a clear sky and the stars starting to come out in the purplish sky. It's going to be amazing later. Before I can comment on it, Mindy whirls on me, her voice barely contained.
What the hell are you doing?
What do you mean? I ask innocently, trying not to laugh. Watching her upset like this is just glorious. I'm being your fiancé. Mindy shakes her head, and I must admit she's hot as hell when she's pissed. Hotter than she normally is.
Don't play dumb. You know exactly what you're doing.
I shrug, purposely still trying to piss her off. I thought what you said was boring. Come up with better stuff next time.
Boring? Come up with better stuff?
She grabs me by the shirt, getting right in my face. Her eyes are sparkling with anger. And again, I think, damn, she's hot when she's pissed off. I so need to make her mine.
Listen here, you muscled-up, arrogant bastard, Mindy hisses, shaking me and snapping me back to her words. You're supposed to be here doing what I say, not trying to humiliate me. That had better be the last time you slip up, or I'm going to introduce your balls to Grandma's Nutcracker collection. Got it?
She moves to turn away, but I grab her arm, pulling her in close. Lowering my lips until they're a fraction of an inch from her ear, I grind my hips against hers, letting her feel my cock as it quickly stiffens. What did you say you wanted to do to my balls? She's flustered, her face going red. Her lips are parted, and in the light, I can see her eyes go darker. She's torn. She wants me, but she also wants to slap me. I'd give it to her right here on this balcony, make the choice for her, but I know there are others inside. I'm not going to push my luck that much. I move my lips until I'm just a fraction of an inch from hers. She mewls like a kitten almost, and I know she wants to close the gap, to kiss me again. Right when our lips are about to touch, I hear steps at the entry, and Mary Jo comes out, her voice cutting through the tension between us.
Everything all right out here?
At the sound of her mom, Mindy tears away from me, her breathing ragged.
Yeah, Mom, she says, not even able to look at me. We'll be there in a minute.
Mary Jo gives us a questioning look, then shrugs.
Okay, but the duck's on the table, and I'd like to get things started. You know how Grandma is with her pills. We can't delay dinner too long.
She goes inside, and Mindy turns back to me.
Don't touch me unless I tell you to. I still haven't forgotten that stunt you pulled back at the airport and that kiss you gave me.
I chuckle, wiggling my eyebrows. I'm sure you haven't, Princess. I'll admit, you kiss pretty damn good, too. My comment only riles her up more. She swirls and stomps back into the mansion, giving me another breathtaking view of her ass in that tight dress and those heels. In my mind, I can imagine pulling her dress up, bending her over, and seeing just how soft